श्री जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की जय, गंगा माई जमुना माई की जय, तुलसी देवी भक्ति देवी की जय, सांग वीर भक्त वृंद की जय, हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, युग राम नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्रीमद भगवत धाम की जय, जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी. All glories to the assembled devotees. Glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. Om Agyanam Panundasya Agyanam Ganan Salakaya Chakshur Lamitam Prasmai Sri Guru Ve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Vadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Smati Bhakti Vedanta Samaniti Namane Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Ne Vishesha Shunyavari Hasta Chaita Satharine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Prahlad, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu, text number 24 and 25. Sorry, 23, 24. Unfortunately, they got 24 on the board. Because 23 is Shipalaru Vacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Parasevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasyam Shakyam Atmani Vedanam Iti Pungsharpita Vishnu Bhaktis Chennavalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyatya Tanmanye Ditam Uttamam Iti Pungsharpita Vishnu Bhaktis Chennavalakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyadha Tanmanye Ditam Uttamam. Iti Pungsharpita Vishnu Bhaktischena Balakshana Kriyeta Bhagavatyatya Tanmanye Ditama Uttamam Deepam Shapira Vishna Bhaktischena Balakshana Kriyate Bhagavati Yadha Hanmane Ditam Uttamam Ready?
Thank you.
Translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It's a very long purport, 14 pages. So we'll do half, and then tomorrow's speaker will do the other half. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father to say something from whatever he had learned, he considered that what he had learned from his spiritual master was the best of all teachings, whereas what he learned from had learned about diplomacy from his material teachers, Sanda and Amarka, was useless. Bhakti Pareshanu Bhavo Virakti Ananyatyacha. Bhagavatam 11.2.42. This is a symptom of pure devotional service. A pure devotee is interested only in devotional service, not in material affairs. To execute devotional service, one should always engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna, or Lord Vishnu. The process of temple worship is called archana. How to perform archana will be explained herein. One should have complete faith in the words of Krishna, who says that he is the great well-wishing friend of everyone, Suridham Sarvabhutanam. A devotee considers Krishna the only friend. This is called Shakyam. Pumsha Pita Vishnu. The word Pumsha means by all living entities. There are no distinctions permitting only a man or only a brahmana to offer devotional service to the Lord. Everyone can do so, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.32. Sri Vaishas Tata Sudras Te Piyanti Param Gatim. Although women, Vaishas, and Sudras are considered less intelligent, they also can become devotees and return home back to Godhead. After performing sacrifices, sometimes a person engaged in fruitive activity customarily offers the results to Vishnu. But here it is said, Bhagavati Yadha. One must directly offer everything to Vishnu. This is called sannyas, not merely nayas. A chidanda sannyasi carries three dandas, signifying kaya, mano, vakya, body, mind, and words. All of these should be offered to Vishnu, and then one can begin devotional service. Fruitive workers first perform some pious activities, and then formally or officially offer the results to Vishnu. The real devotee, however, first offers his surrender to Krishna with his body, mind, and words, and then uses his body, mind, and words for the service of Krishna as Krishna desires. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gives the following explanations in his Tatya. The word Shravana refers to giving oral reception to the holy name and descriptions of the Lord's form, qualities, entourage, and pastimes as explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar authorized scriptures. After orally receiving such messages, one should memorize those vibrations and repeat them, kirtanam. Smaranam means trying to understand more and more about the Supreme Lord, and padasevanam means engaging oneself in serving the lotus feet of the Lord according to the time and circumstances. Archanam means worshipping Lord Vishnu, as one does in the temple. And Vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Manmanha bhava mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru. Vandanam means namaskuru, offering obeisances or prayers. Thinking oneself to be Nitya Krishna Das, everlastingly a servant of Krishna, is called Dasyam. And Shakyam means being a well-wisher of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto Him because everyone is constitutionally His servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend, Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto Krishna. Atmanivedana means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one may possess. One's sincere endeavor to perform these nine processes of devotional service is technically called bhakti. The word adha means directly. One should not be like the karmis who perform pious activities, then formally offer the results to Krishna. This is called karmakanda. One should not aspire for the results of his pious activities, but should dedicate oneself fully and then act piously. In other words, one should act for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu, not for the satisfaction of his own senses. That is the meaning of the word adha, directly. Anya bilasita sunyam jnana kamani anavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti otama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activity or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. One should simply satisfy Krishna without being influenced by fruitive knowledge or fruitive activity. The Gopala Tapani Upanishad says that the word bhakti means engagement in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not anyone else. This Upanishad describes that bhakti is the offering of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To perform devotional service, one should be relieved of the bodily conception of life and aspirations to be happy through elevation to the higher planetary systems. In other words, work performed simply for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord without any desire for material benefits is called bhakti. Bhakti is also called nishkama, or freedom from the results of fruitive activity. Bhakti and nishkama are on the same platform. Although devotional service and fruitive activity appear almost the same. The nine different processes enunciated by Prahlad Maharaj, who learned them from Narada Muni, may not all be required for the execution of devotional service. If a devotee performs only one of these nine without deviation, he can attain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes it is found that when one performs one of the processes, other processes are mixed with it. That is not improper for a devotee. When a devotee executes any one of the nine processes, Navalakshana, this is sufficient. The other eight processes are included. Now, let us discuss these nine different processes. 1. Shravanam. Hearing the holy name of the Lord, Shravanam, is the beginning of devotional service. Although any one of the nine processes is sufficient, in chronological order, the hearing of the holy name of the Lord is the beginning. Indeed, it is essential, as enunciated by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitodhapanamajanam. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one is cleansed of the material conception of life, which is due to the dirty modes of material nature. When the dirt is cleansed from the core of one's heart, one can realize the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha. Thus, by hearing the holy name of the Lord, one comes to the platform of understanding the personal form of the Lord. After realizing the Lord's form, one can realize the transcendental qualities of the Lord. And when one can understand His transcendental qualities, one can understand the Lord's associates. In this way, a devotee advances further and further toward complete understanding of the Lord as he awakens in realization of the Lord's holy name, transcendental form and qualities, His paraphernalia, and everything pertaining to Him. Therefore, the chronological process is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. This same process of chronological understanding holds true in chanting and remembering. When the chanting of the holy name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia is heard from the mouth of a pure devotee, his hearing and chanting are very pleasing. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the chanting of an artificial devotee or a non-devotee. Hearing from the text of Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the most important process of hearing. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of transcendental chanting of the holy name, and therefore the chanting and hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendentally full of mellows. The transcendental holy name of the Lord may be heard and chanted accordingly to the attraction of the devotee. One may chant the holy name of Lord Krishna, or one may chant the holy name of Lord Rama, or Narsimhadev. Ramadi murtishu kalahenim mithmenantnistam tistam. The Lord has innumerable forms and names, and devotees may meditate on a particular form and chant the holy name according to his attraction. The best course is to hear the holy names, forms, and so on from a pure devotee of the same standard as oneself. In other words, one who is attached to Krishna should chant and hear from other pure devotees who are also attached to Lord Krishna. The same principle applies for devotees attracted by Lord Rama, Lord Narsimha, and other forms of the Lord. Because Krishna is the ultimate form of the Lord, Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam, it is best to hear about Lord Krishna's name, form, pastimes, from a realized devotee who is particularly attracted by the form of Lord Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees like Sukadeva Goswami have specifically described Lord Krishna's holy name, form, and qualities. Unless one hears about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand the other processes of devotional service. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one chant the holy name of Krishna. Param vijite Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. If one is fortunate enough to hear from the mouth of realized devotees, he is very easily successful on the path of devotional service. Therefore, hearing of the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord is essential. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.11, there is this verse, Tad Vagvishargo Janataka Viplavo Yasmin Pratishtokam Abhadivatyapi Namanyantasya Yasso Nityatyat Shrinvati Gyanti Ganti Sadhava. Verses describing the name, form, and qualities of Anantadev, the unlimited Supreme Lord, are able to vanquish all the sinful reactions of the entire world. Therefore, even if such verses are improperly composed, devotees hear them, describe them, and accept them as bona fide and authorized. In this connection, Sridhar Swami has remarked that a pure devotee takes advantage of another pure devotee by trying to hear from him about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord. If there is no such opportunity, he alone chants and hears the Lord's holy name. Number two, Kirtanam. The hearing of the holy name has been described above. Now let us try to understand the chanting of the holy name, which is the second item in the consecutive order. It is recommended that such chanting be performed very loudly. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni said that without shame, he began traveling all over the world chanting the holy name of the Lord. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, Jinadapi sanuchena, tadorapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtanaya sadahari. A devotee can very peacefully chant the holy name of the Lord by behaving more humbly than grass, being tolerant like a tree and offering respects to everyone without expecting honor from anyone else. Such qualifications make it easier to chant the holy name of the Lord. The process of transcendental chanting can be easily performed by anyone, even if one is physically unfit, classified lower than others, devoid of material qualifications, or not at all elevated in terms of pious activities. The chanting of the holy name is beneficial. An aristocratic birth, an advanced education, beautiful bodily features, wealth, and similar results of pious activities are all unnecessary for advancement in spiritual life. For one can very easily advance simply by chanting the holy name. It is understood from the authoritative source of Vedic literature that especially in this age, Kali Yuga, people are generally short living, extremely bad in their habits, and inclined to accept methods of devotional service that are not bona fide. Moreover, they are always disturbed by material conditions and they are mostly unfortunate. Under the circumstances, the performance of other processes such as yajna, dhana, tapa, and kriya, sacrifices, charity, and so on, are not at all possible. Therefore, it is recommended, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama eva kevalam, kalo nastiva, nasti eva, katir atnyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one advances perfectly in spiritual life. This is the best process for success in life. In other ages, the chanting of the holy name is equally powerful, but especially in this age, Kali Yuga, it is most powerful. Ketana Deva Krishna Shyamukta Sangha Param Bhajat. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one is liberated and returns home back to Godhead. Therefore, even if one is able to perform other processes of devotional service, one must adopt the chanting of the holy name as the principal method of advancing in spiritual life. Yagya Sankitan Pragya Jagati Hi Shameda Saha. Those who are very sharp in their intelligence should adopt this process of chanting the holy names of the Lord. One should not, however, manufacture different types of chanting. One should adhere seriously to the chanting of the holy name as recommended in the scripture. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. While chanting the holy name of the Lord, one should be careful to avoid 10 offenses. From Sanat Kumar, it is understood that even if a person is a severe offender in many ways, He is freed from offensive life if he takes shelter of the Lord's holy name. Indeed, even if a human being is no better than a two-legged animal, he will be liberated if he takes shelter of the holy name of the Lord. One should therefore be very careful not to commit offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord's holy name. The offenses are described as follows. A. To blaspheme the devotees, especially a devotee engaged in broadcasting the glories of the holy name. B. To consider the name of Lord Shiva or any other demigod to be equally as powerful as the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is equal to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor is anyone superior to him. C. To disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. D. To blaspheme the Vedic literature and literatures compiled in pursuance of the Vedic literatures. E. To comment that the glories of the holy name of the Lord are exaggerated. F. To interpret the holy name of the Lord in a deviant way. G. To commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. H. To compare the chanting of the holy name to pious activities. I. To instruct the glories of the holy name to a person who has no understanding of the chanting of the holy name. J. Not to awaken in transcendental attachment for the chanting of the holy name, even after hearing all these scriptural injunctions. There is no way to atone for any of these offenses. It is therefore recommended that an offender at the feet of the holy name continue to chant the holy name 24 hours a day. Constant chanting of the holy name will make one free from offenses, and then he will gradually be elevated to the transcendental platform on which he can chant the pure holy name and thus become a lover of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is recommended that even if one commits offenses, one should continue chanting the holy name. In other words, the chanting of the holy name makes one offenseless. In the book Nama Kodmudi, it is recommended that if one is an offender at the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, he should submit to that Vaishnava and be excused. Similarly, if one is an offender in chanting the holy name, he should submit to the holy name and thus be freed from his offense. In this connection, there is the following statement spoken by Daksha to Lord Shiva. I did not know the glories of your personality, and therefore I committed an offense at your lotus feet in the open assembly. You are so kind, however, that you did not accept my offense. Instead, when I was falling down because of accusing you, you saved me by your merciful glance. You are most great. Kindly excuse me and be satisfied with your own exalted qualities. One should be very humble and meek to offer one's desires and chant prayers composed in glorification of the holy name, such as Ayi Mukti Kule Upasya Manam and Nivritta Tarsha Upagad Yamana. One should chant such prayers to become free from offenses at the lotus feet of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Prahlad is answering his father, who's asked him, what is the best thing you've learned at school? And so Prahlad directly told him. He wasn't interested in the materialist education he was being given by his teachers. Rather, he repeated what he had learned from Narada Muni while he was in the womb of his mother. And this is going to upset Hiranyakashipu, no doubt. But the fact is that Prahlad is a pure devotee of the Lord, And he's a well-wisher of everyone. He is not envious or inimical towards anyone. So he's going to speak the truth. And because he surrendered to Krishna, he has no fear. So he's our, therefore, this his consciousness makes him one of the Mahajans, the people that we have authority, a spiritual authority in any spiritual matters. We go to the Mahajans for the actual Siddhanta or the actual conclusion. So. So Prabhupada briefly explains these nine devotions of devotional processes, and he says that when we should perform these processes, this is what is the definition of bhakti. To perform those activities for the benefit of Krishna, without any self motivation. In other words, without any desire for fruitive results, either now or in the next life, or the desire to become free from material life problems in an impersonal way. It means to negate the material life. Karmadi and jnana and karma, that is called the desire for fruitive activities, that is karma. A desire for liberation is jnana. So the devotional service should be performed without those two desires, and that is pure unalloyed devotional service. When one develops affection for Krishna, so there is very. It's not easy. It's not easy, as we know. We are practicing sadhakas. It's not easy to become free from those desires for our own personal comfort and our own personal happiness. It's very, very difficult. We know. We have practical experience every day. We're trying to overcome these anarthas. Anarthas is. The first anartha is I am this body, and the desire is to enjoy through this body, and to enjoy this body. First, we have to deal with all the problems: adhyatmik, adhidevik, adhibhautik, heat, cold, pleasure, pain, hate, old age, disease, death, birth, sickness. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, which we have to face throughout our life. So most of our time is spent dealing with these things. So this is called jnana, or how to become free. We want liberation from these tribulations of life, because when all these things are affecting us, we can't concentrate on our enjoyment. We don't have that free time. We can't enjoy peacefully. But that's the idea. So this is how most of our life is spent, in trying to become free from these things. We know every day we can notice that. We always try to take the easy way, the shortcut, right? So I can be comfortable. But actually, material life is meant for tapasya. The human form of life is not meant for. It's not meant to enjoy. The prison life is not meant for enjoyment. It's meant for correction. But we're not thinking like that. We're thinking it's meant. The body is meant for our enjoyment. But actually, it's an imposition. It's awarded as a punishment. But we don't see it like that. So by all means, we're trying to change the rules of Krishna and try to. Use it as an object of enjoyment. So this is our conditioning for many, many, many births. It's very difficult to give up, to get over this. that you're the controller and you're the enjoyer. So as long as we're in this bodily conception, as long as we think we're the doers, then we're advised to practice Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. That's for the conditioned souls. If you're above that platform and you already have developed affection for Krishna, then you don't have to follow sadhana. There's no need, because you already have attraction for Krishna. So we want to come to that platform. So this is the things that have... There's only two things that we have to give up: the desire for enjoyment and the desire for safety. Only two things. Everything falls under those categories. But first, we should understand that we are conditioned souls, and we're not free from these wants, but they have to be laid aside as be some a sacrifice if we want to become free from this suffering of repeated birth and death. There's a price to pay, and it's not cheap. One is in a terrible condition, and one needs help. You have to. There has to be some sacrifice, some suffering there. But we don't like suffering. We're suffering anyway. You have to suffer birth, old age, disease, death. So take on this so-called tapasya, and you become free from all this. Right? Nothing is gained easily. Everything you do, you have to work for. So there's always tapasya in life, whatever you do. The body's always given problems. I just been to the dentist. Nobody likes to go to the dentist, right? Nobody likes to sit in the dentist chair and have all those drills going on and whatever. But in the long run, it's better. So you make that sacrifice. Okay, I tolerate, because you know afterwards the disease will be cured. And then. So that's when you give those up, then the pure devotional service can begin. But until that time, then our devotion is not pure, because we're actually not... The consciousness is not for Krishna's pleasure. Or the motivation is not for Krishna's pleasure. The motivation may be to please Krishna, that then Krishna will give me happiness and Krishna will give me freedom. So it's still... I'm still egocentric. It's still all about me, about my happiness and my relief. We're not considering Krishna's happiness, but actually we're the eternal servant of Krishna. This has to be accepted. You can't change that fact that we're eternal servants of Krishna. So. How should we serve Krishna? So therefore, they're given these nine devotional processes. These are the best things to do if you actually want to reawaken your dormant Krishna consciousness. These are the best things to do, these nine devotional processes. But as you perform these processes, there's certain rules, yama, niyama. There's certain things, vaidhi, sadhana. We have to follow these rules. Certain things, there's certain things we mustn't do, and there's certain things we do. Like, you know, we have four regulative principles, because they're not conducive for devotional service. They're conducive to promote the mode of passion and ignorance, which is not good for devotional, pure devotional service. Because there's passion and ignorance, they make too much interference, too much noise, that you have to distracted from performing devotional service. So we want to reduce that, those effects. So therefore, the four regular principles, they'd be situated in the mode of goodness. And then how you actually perform the devotional service. And there's so many rules we'll hear tomorrow in Archan, how you have to be, everything has to be clean and pure before you actually approach the Lord. Because we're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything has to be the best, because He's the best. And we have to become the best. Prabhupada said, if you want to go know God, you have to become God. It means you have to become self-realized. You have to become on the spiritual platform. You have to understand yourself as the initially as the servant of Krishna, we know that, but one actually has to have realization of that. Then you can perform pure devotional service. So that realization comes at the platform of Nishta. The feelings really start on the platform of Nishta. I mean, in a more consistent way. It may come any time, but that's when it really starts. That's more or less the platform of self-realization. You're realizing your spiritual identity, the Atma, which is the same quality as Krishna, Satchitananda. So therefore, Krishna is asking us to surrender to Him, because we are servants of Krishna. Prabhupada said that's Krishna's kindness. It's not an imposition. He's asking us to surrender because we're servants. We're not acting as servants, and we're suffering in the material world, birth and death. So Krishna's very kindly saying, no, you surrender to me. That's what you're supposed to be doing. That's what you are. You're not a part of this material world. You're not a product of this material energy. You're identifying yourself as a product of the material energy, but actually you're not. You're a product of the spiritual energy, and you belong in the spiritual atmosphere. Then you'll be satisfied, but don't try to adjust this material energy and find satisfaction here. That's illusion. So Krishna is telling us very clearly, but we're so stubborn that we won't give up that endeavor to find some, to adjust our life, and then we can enjoy our life. So that's what's going on in the material world. So this is the best thing to do to get out of it, to get back to Godhead. These are the nine processes of devotional service. Prahlad is given. Prahlad is the Mahajan, the authority. You don't get much better than Prahlad. So we're discussing here, we're just two subjects we're discussing today, Shravanam Kirtanam. So this way it's very easy to the path of bhakti is very easy, relatively speaking, compared with the practices of karma, jnana and yoga, which are in this age, practically speaking, you won't be successful by practicing karma yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga. It takes too long. Karma yoga takes hundreds of births. And then you have to, after being purified by practicing karma yoga, then you practice jnana yoga for self-realization. After many, many births, Krishna says, bahunama vijana, many births as a jnani, then you understand sava, Vasudeva sava, then you surrender to Krishna. So it takes a long time. And the yogis, generally, they're not successful either. Generally, they get deviated by their mystic toys that they get, the mystic abilities. So practically speaking, it's not possible in this age. These processes are very simple. Anyone can take part in these processes. Even those, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, even those affected by passion and ignorance, they all come back to me if they take the devotional service. So the bhakti is a direct process. You know, we're hearing about Krishna. We're remembering Krishna. We're talking about Krishna. We're serving Krishna. We're becoming, making friends with Krishna. We're worshipping Krishna. So this is, you're directly connected with Krishna. So that's very purifying. Whereas those other paths, the other paths are purifying. Karma, jnana, and yoga, they're purifying you, but they're not connecting you with Krishna, essentially. When you reach perfection, then you understand, then you connect with Krishna in a pure state. But in bhakti, you immediately connect with Krishna through His holy name, through His service, through His remembrance. Immediately you're connected with Krishna. Although we're not pure, although we're not self-realized, but still we're directly connected with Krishna. And that is actually purifying us, being there. So that's a very direct process, very simple. Because you're hearing, you just have to hear about Krishna. That's all you have to do. Prabhupada said you can go back to Godhead simply by hearing. It's recommended one should also chant that sound vibration is especially potent in Kali Yuga. But still, that's also easy. We have kirtan, everyone likes to dance and chant and with music and other people. So that's the yoga dharma. Otherwise, we do our japa. It's only a finger and your tongue and your lip, that's all. And you just listen to the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's very easy, but we find that it's also very difficult because of our turbulent minds to concentrate on to be absorbed in every syllable. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So difficult to be absorbed, right, for more than two or three. You're doing well. Doing well. If you're still concentrated by three, you're doing pretty well for most of us. So even we find that difficult. That's how fallen we are in Kali Yuga. So although it's a very simple process, we find it quite troublesome. So what to speak of those other processes? If we can't even do that, even if this is difficult, right? Just sitting down and moving your tongue and your lip. If that's difficult, then how are you expected to follow all these other rules, regulations? But that is because Krishna and his name are not different. So when we're hearing that name, Hare Krishna Rama, then that's purifying us. This is a Chaito Dharpana Marjanam. That is cleaning the heart, because wherever Krishna is, Maya cannot stand. So while we're actually absorbed in that holy name, then that's the platform of liberation. So this is a transcendental platform, if you're absorbed, because you're only thinking of that holy name, nothing else. But that's Krishna. Even though we haven't got realization, it's still its liberation. There'll be no material reaction for that, for these activities when you're absorbed. So that's what's recommended. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make it very, very easy, because we're very, very fallen in this age. But then there's some prerequisites. If you want to actually the result of the chant, if you want to go quickly, then there are these offenses to be avoided while you're chanting Hare Krishna. There's 10 offenses here. And he said afterwards, there's no way to atone for these offenses, these namaparads. Therefore, you just keep chanting 24 hours a day, Prabhupada. There's no way to atone for these offenses. We make so many offenses, right? While we're chanting, especially inattention. No way to atone for it. So therefore, you keep chanting Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. It's prescribed. And that will free you from the offenses. So this is what we have in Kali Yuga. This is what we have to work with. We're very fallen, conditioned souls. But we really want to understand the importance of what we got. That Krishna has made himself very, very easily available. But he's expecting, something from our side, some devotion from our side, because that's all Krishna's really interested in. He wants to awaken our devotion. That's why he's come here. That's why he's exerted himself to come here in his different incarnations and empower his different devotees and given these different scriptures like Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. He's taken great endeavor just to enlighten us, just to remind us. But so he expects us to do something also. We can't expect him to do everything. Oh, Guru Dev, please place your hand on my head and take everything away. And no, you have to help qualify yourself. You have to be serious, because if you don't want to do these things, then it means you're not very serious. You're not very serious about saying no to Maya. That means we're still attached to our being the doers and the controllers and the enjoyers. We don't want to give that up. So if you don't want to give that up, then you try again, next birth, next birth. There's plenty of births you can take, plenty of places you can go in the universe, plenty of different types of bodies you can practice in. But Krishna's not, he's equal. You know? If you don't want to surrender now, surrender next life. If you don't want to surrender next life, surrender the next life. But that's, if we're actually intelligent, then we try to finish it off in this lifetime. And Krishna's willing. And Krishna's given all the facility. And he says, not dependent on your birth, or your knowledge, or your position in society. It's not on the intelligence. It's not dependent on that. Anyone can become a devotee, as he mentioned. Even those coming from the mode of passion and ignorance, sudras, vaishyas. So they can also do it. Because devotional service is direct. You don't devote as a byproduct or a side effect of devotional service in Vaidya Sadhana Bhakti is purification. That's a side effect. Whereas for yoga, karma, and jnana, purification is the goal. That's the actual goal. But in bhakti, that their goal is a side effect, because automatically the purification takes place. So it's very, Krishna's made it, he's extending himself, he's playing his part, but now he's waiting for us. He's made it so easy, he's given it to you on a silver plate, as they say. So now he's waiting for us to respond to his kindness. So if we're serious about it, then we'll take the process seriously. Then Krishna will be pleased, and he'll be happy to help us go more swiftly. But what their Prahlad and other sages and the Lord himself, they're recommending that we have to consciously try to develop these qualities of, you know, jnana bhisana, to practice being humble, to practice being tolerant, and give up pride and be ready to respect others. He said, then it's easy. He said, then it's easy to chant the name offenselessly. If you have those qualities, then it's very easy to chant. Now we find it difficult. I guess we have those qualities. So we should try to give those qualities, to give these bad qualities, or develop these good qualities, and the bad qualities will also disappear. We concentrate on the positive rather than the negative, rather than trying to get rid of bad qualities. We just try to develop the good qualities, then there's no space or there's no time for the bad qualities to appear. We get just absorbed in these nine processes of devotional service from morning till night. If we actually do that, if we're actually absorbed, then there's no possibility for these other bad qualities to come in or to manifest. So especially the humility is a very important factor, because we're puffed up. We're in the material world. We're trying to take the position of the Lord. Our identity, false identity, is that we're the controller and we're the enjoyer. So it starts from the false ego, but actually Krishna's the enjoyer and Krishna's the controller. But we're trying to take his position. So this is very bad. We've adopted his mentality, but we don't have his potency. We're actually controlled, and we're suffering here. We're put here to suffer by the agency of Durga Devi. But we're thinking, no, I should be the controller, I should be the enjoyer. And I don't like it that I'm being, these things are coming, so let me overcome them, let me stop them coming. And that's what the whole modern civilization is all about. They're trying to reduce the problems of life, trying to control nature. Right? That's the purpose, that's the goal. And then you can enjoy freely as you like. But that's the dream, the material dream. You cannot, this spirit soul, there's no pleasure in matter. Spirit can't take pleasure in matter, which is what we're trying to do. However nicely you may arrange it, you can't actually enjoy matter because you're a spirit. But Maya has captured us like this. No, you can. And there's a sensation that you're enjoying, or there's a sensation that you're peaceful. You're feeling that sensation. So it's there, but it's very, very minimal. But even the very, very minimal feeling of satisfaction, the very, very minimal feeling of happiness, the adrenaline is running, that's great in the material world because we never get it. We hardly ever get it. It's so rare to get a little bit. We think that's something worthwhile. But in our actual constitution, that's a natural state of existence, 24/7, Satchit Ananda. So this, what you get here, is nothing. Nothing. It's just a, and we, you know, we'll give out, we'll lay down our lives for this. Yeah? We work so hard for it. But it's nothing. It's just it's a little bit is there, a little relief and a little happiness. But because we've forgotten what actual happiness is, what actual freedom is, then we think this is you know, this is wonderful. I've got it. And you get it for a few minutes or a few moments or a few hours. But that's it. You're working so hard. And then you get old and you get sick and die. Miserably. Nobody likes to die. You won't suffer. Then you suffer again. You come out into this world crying, generally. Ah, horrible situation. Mother's screaming, the baby's screaming, it's blood, it's oh, the wonders of childbirth. Wonder, welcome to the material world. So you come in suffering, you go out suffering. And in between, you're trying to not to suffer. Krishna says it's suffering, so we better believe him. And we have a good experience. So that the humility should come there, that we, you know, we've made a fool of ourselves. We made a big ass of ourselves. We took birth again. You know, we're really dumb. We didn't get out. Even in Satyuga, we were here, we didn't get out. We're really stupid. And if we don't get out this life, then we're going to come back again. It's no joke. Material is no joke, taking birth and dying. So we should take these words seriously. They're speaking for our benefit. And we're so fortunate, we got the best. We got the Mahajans, they're our Prabhus. And those in Parampara, we're so fortunate. And then we're so fortunate, we just come on the eve or the, just after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been here. It's only 500 years ago. So fortunate. Huh? Before 500 years, no one had such an easy opportunity. So fortunate. My father never heard Krishna in his life. I don't think he ever heard the name of Krishna. What to speak of his ancestors in Malacha Desh. Nobody ever knew about Krishna, Bhakti. So we're so fortunate. So we should be grateful and try to apply those, take those teachings seriously as a matter of duty, as a matter of respect for them. That's what they come for. They put themselves out. We should at least repay their great endeavor by being serious ourselves to accept this process which they're endeavoring to give us. They want us to give. And then we'll be happy. They'll be happy. And the material world will go on without us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Jai, Prahlad Mahajan ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai, Shravanam Kirtanam ki, Jai, Jai Gopi Manandi, Hare Krishna.